There's a difference between doing and being. Doing is when there's someone acting, when there's someone to do something. Being just happens. Being happens independently of you. It happens through you, it happens in a way because of you, it happens in spite of you, it just is. Doing is you acting, you engaging, you being part of the world. They are very related, essential to one another. There could be no doing if there wasn't being. There can, however, be being if there's no doing. We tend not to measure being very much because it's such a background aspect of our lives. We're just being. We're human being. But we do measure the doing, the action, the accomplishment, the cause and effect. We're very structured to be involved in doing, into measuring it, into succeeding at it. And we're trained from very early on to become effective doers. And in a sense, the history of the world and the history of our own personal lives is the history of what is done. What is built, what is constructed. And there is no real history of being. I think even those words might be difficult for you. Because what does it mean to be? Or as Hamlet said, not to be? That is the question. As though one could end being. You can definitely end doing. We do it every day, in a sense. We go wash our hands, brush our teeth, and we're done. Lay down. We're not doing anymore. The most we come into doing is dreaming. And that's not really us so much. I mean, we take it as personal, but it's kind of just happening. Stuff is passing through. Stuff is going on, but we're not engaging it so much unless you have a nightmare or something you really get attracted to. Mostly you just let it happen. But the minute you wake up in the morning, doing starts. Brushing the teeth again, washing up, getting ready for the day, preparing food, all of these things are happening. And in a sense, you believe you're doing them. It sure feels like you're doing them. Who else is washing your hands? Who else is eating that toast or drinking that coffee? Clearly, you appear to be doing all of that stuff. And you are either doing it rather passively. I don't think you sit and worry about how you're washing your hands. Oh my God, am I doing it right? Oh my God, did I get under the fingernails? Or maybe you do. But most of us don't worry our way through washing our hands. We don't worry our way through much of the stuff we do. We just do it. Or in a funny way, it happens. You know, I get in the shower and it's like amazing to me that it's a ballet. It's the same ballet every time. And I'm so fascinated by it because there's a trajectory to it. You know, I don't wash my face first, I wash my face last. Some of you may be different. You know, everybody has a kind of a movement, and it's kind of how you do it. And shaving is like unbelievable. I mean, I've shaved the same way for 50, 60 years. And it's like, huh. You know, it's very specific movements, you know, and I love those movements. They're very familiar to me, but I don't have to think about them. They just happen. So I could be thinking about a million other things. So in fact, while I'm doing the shaving, my mind is doing the thinking. And thinking is a kind of doing. It's very active. Now I'm going to do this. I'm thinking about this and doing that, and my mind is completely engaged, and it isn't even aware that I'm shaving. And I know I put the razor down, and the thoughts are still going on, and I get out of the shower and I say, did I shave? You know, it's like you can actually not remember doing something because you're so involved in the mental stuff that's going on. That's, for many people, the real doing. Let's say you're driving the car somewhere. Who's driving that car? Well, you are. But where are you when you're driving the car? Most of us are sort of on the street behind the wheel, doing the robotic attention paying, looking up, you know. But most of us are also listening to the radio, listening to music, or thinking. And that's what's going on. And the doing is really mental, not the physical. The driving is fairly much happening by itself, except when a car swerves in front of you, or, you know, the light comes on too quickly, the stoplight, then suddenly you're there doing, but you're not doing very much. You're really just kind of there. In a way, it's really just happening. Certain events in your day require real doing. Some of you have physical work to do, like construct something, build something, write something, call someone, answer something. There's stuff to do. And we do it. We all do the stuff we have to do. Some of us make money, most of us, I hope, make money doing. You don't make money for being. Nobody that I know does that except for a few meditation teachers. Mostly, you make money from doing and achieving and accomplishing, and you invest those activities with a lot of emotional weight, a lot of mental activity. They're very involving, they're very powerful. And this idea of doing becomes, in a certain sense, the most important thing about your life. And the idea of not doing something, especially if it means not making money or not supporting your relationships and your friendships and your power base, not doing is just as powerful as doing. So doing and not doing are really very much related to each other, and they are very engaging, and they do something which is really powerful, which is they involve us emotionally. So that the idea of, oh my God, I've got to do this. Then doing involves something called time. Doing is very time sensitive. So you can't often do something that doesn't have to be completed by a particular time. I mean, there are certain things you can do that are, you know, lifelong endeavors, but most things are, I have to write that letter by Tuesday. I've got to pay that bill by Wednesday. So then there's the problem of time creating tension. And the doing starts to create a kind of sense of worry, anxiety, fear, expectation. It can also create hope. Oh, if I write this screenplay, I'll sell it for $1 million and I won't have any problems anymore. A lot of people I know are into that fantasy. If I just do this, that will happen. And so half the time, they're not even writing the screenplay. They're sitting at McDonald's or a coffee house, and they're going, oh, when I make that $1 million, you know? And they're not writing. They're drinking their coffee, looking out the window, and the doing is not happening. Then there's tension because they're not doing. And then I think, I better do something, I've got to do something. And you write your page or two pages and you go, oh, I did it. And there's an enormous sense of completion and of gratitude. You made your day worthwhile. You made it worthwhile, you finished the thing you had to do, you earned your right to go home and watch Dancing with the Stars, or whatever you watch, Homeland, or whatever. And that's not really doing for most of us. And it's also not being. What is it to watch Dancing with the Stars? It's a little bit like thinking. It's a little bit like, la, 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 la. You're doing, you're kind of observing, you're watching. It's an effort of some kind. It's an engagement. It's a very light effort to watch some of these shows. But its passivity is very calming, and your doing is very relaxing, and you feel wonderful. Then you go to bed, and you had a day that's either filled with accomplishment or with nothing. It's disappointing or it's satisfying. Nowadays, we're involved in a culture where work is there's a lot of workers and more workers than the work to be done. So people who have work want to hold on to it. People who don't have it want it desperately. People who have it are scared to death that they're going to lose it. People that don't have it are scared to death they'll never get it. So there's an enormous bodily involvement in the world of doing. So now that you all know what doing is, sort of, let's go back to being. Being doesn't involve you very much. It's like showering. It's definitely happening, but you don't have to show up very much. You have to know where the soap is, and you have to know you have an arm and a leg and stuff, and you got to kind of cover it with soap. It's fairly simple. It's just happening. The doing is really very minuscule because it's so easy and programmed and comfortable. So you are hardly engaged, although something real is getting accomplished. Being is just a place where things happen. And it doesn't require a you to be there. And now this is kind of amazing. But you can actually build a building, write a movie, serve people in a restaurant, create a new dish, without doing it. I know that sounds crazy, but the best movies I've ever written, I didn't do it. It happened. The most I did was took dictation. I kept hearing the story. It kept forming. It happened. It was happening, and I just took it down. So all I did was type, and that wasn't much different than washing, you know? And it was just happening. It was happening. It was being. Being allowed it to form itself into life. I did not have to have a relationship to it. Except when it was done, people would say, "Oh, that's so wonderful." Or they would say, "Oh, that's shit. That's horrible." In which case, my being, my personhood, would start to feel that I had done something good or bad. And in feeling I had done something, I would take ownership of something I didn't do. It happened, and now my body, my emotions, my physicality is either elated by being loved by whoever read it, or being despised by whoever read it. So I would have a relationship, and my whole persona would be formed by something that I didn't do. We really are a culture based on doing. We're just based on doing stuff. And we're also a capitalist society, so we're based on acknowledging our doing by rewarding it with how much we have, how much we get, how much we own. All of this stuff becomes a demonstration of he who has the most toys wins. This idea that somehow we're being measured in some way by our doing. The great teachers try to alter that idea. They try to teach you that it's not about doing, it's about being. And when you start to identify with being, what you realize, especially when you immerse yourself in being, is that you dissolve in it. The separate person dissolves in it. And there is just being. And being has no measurement. It has no size. It has no depth. It's everywhere. And being is expressed by what is. What is. That is being. What is what's happening. What is what's not happening. What is life. What is stillness, it is beauty, it is darkness, it is fear. What is everything. So your doing self, Your individual personal self is definitely happening within the realm of being. But your identity with that separates you from this extraordinary sense of just being. And not only the sense of it, but more particularly the liberation that it brings about. It frees you from doing. Not to stop doing, but from identifying with the doing. It allows you to just be. And when you just be, you are in a way carried by a wave of what is. What happens, what emerges, what manifests at any given moment is happening whether you're there or not there. Whether you're afraid of it or not afraid of it. Whether you take credit for it or don't take credit for it. It's just happening. It just keeps happening. And if you surrender profoundly, or if more blessedly you get wiped out of the equation, it will still keep happening. And there will just be a kind of atomic version of you, a little particle of you going, oh. But you don't have to do anything because you realize you're being swept along with the waves of the ocean. You are the waves of the ocean. You are the ocean. Being is what is happening. You are a minuscule, temporary, impermanent manifestation of being. You can take full, unbelievable credit for being. You can walk around and become the most important being on the planet. You know, nowadays we can call it the Donald Trump on the planet. You know, you can think, oh my God, I am all of this. I am powerful. I have money and fame and recognition. And you can own all this, but it's still very temporary. It's still within the extraordinary vastness of being, and it will wash away like that. Poor Donald Trump, he doesn't know. It's going to go like that. But poor every one of you too, because you're going to wash away so fast, and there will be nothing left except the thing that was always there. Being. Just being. And what is being? Well, there's the question. What is being? No answer will work. No answer will work. And the reason no answer will work is because the only way to get an answer is to be separate, to be a you, to be the part that is doing, is trying to get the answer. The philosopher doer, the scientist doer are trying to get the answer to what is happening. And the minute you try to get the answer, you're already in trouble. Because as much as you may get an answer, as much as you may get a minuscule or even a brilliant understanding, it's first of all temporal. It's only there for a moment. Even though it may go down in history as an idea, it's still temporal. And also, it's just passing through you. And if there's anyone to own the idea, is already totally limited and in many ways already dead. An idea is an idea. And they're good. Ideas are really valuable, and they help you as a doer try to re-enter the realm of being. That's the best, really, that an idea can do. Buddha offered us the middle path. Christ said, give up everything and follow me. There are ideas, there are teachings that can help you find your way into simply being, into just being, which involves unbelievable trust, unbelievable not knowing, casting yourself adrift in the sea of being. It's tough. It's tough because the ego mind has one essential purpose, to measure how to do things in such a way as to protect you from being. How do I protect myself? How do I stay protected and safe in a world of total unknowing and total insecurity? By building structure, by building understanding, by building your own sense of truth, that by either forming a belief system or adopting somebody else's belief system. Oh, this is what it is. This is how you do it. This is how you get through it. And you create this false sense of security, which in the end dissolves in being. Because you cannot take a single thought, a single belief, a single idea with you into the realm of being. They don't fit. Being is, in a sense, doing was and will be. Because when you're really doing from a deep space, you're not doing, you're being. Like I said, when I was writing and it was just happening, there was nobody there. It was being, not doing. When you're building that building and you're putting up that scaffolding and you're doing all that stuff, it's just being. The minute you hit your thumb, you know, or the minute that scaffolding falls down and you have to go scramble around, then suddenly there's a lot of doing. And there's a lot of me, me, me in it. But the minute you get it all fixed again and you're just back to what you're doing, doing subsides and being takes over. Mostly we love to be. One of the great things about being is time disappears. Anyone who's written a poem, anybody who's painted a painting, who's composed music, suddenly goes, where did that time go? And you ask that question because you weren't doing, you were being. Time is gone. Being was everything. We love being. We just don't know how to do it. You know why you don't know how to do it? Because you can't do it. You can't do being. It's just happening. Doing is doing, and it involves you. Being is being, and it doesn't involve you at all. You are the froth on a wave breaking on the surface of the ocean. It's an incredibly wonderful place to be. I had a horrible week here. I mean, everything. My car died. My battery died. I tried to get it towed. They said it wouldn't hold a charge. I drove it a little bit. It kept chugging. I had to get it towed to one place. The place didn't call me back to say what they could do. Well, they couldn't call me back because I decided on the spur of the moment to buy an iPhone. They couldn't load the iPhone because they just came out with a new program. So I spent 5 hours at Apple trying to get my iPhone, so I couldn't get a call from the dealer about my car. So I had no car, I had no phone, I couldn't call anybody. Everything going wrong. So if you think spiritual awakening or anything brings you bliss and joy in life, you're completely wrong. But what it did do is I just said, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do here. This is crazy. And it kept going on. I'm telling you, it's still in process. I don't have a car. I have a phone, but in order to hook up the phone, I had to upgrade my computer system, and now the computer's crashed. So I've had to get a guy to take my computer. Anyway, I'm telling you, this is an ongoing story. What's so incredible is that, yes, there was worry. Bruce worried. Bruce got involved in it. And then Bruce said to himself, get out of the way here. There's nothing you can do about any of this. It's all going to unfold completely on its own. It will resolve itself in its own way. But it's really interesting to be without a car and a computer, because it's like huge aspects of your mobility, your safety, your intelligence are all just gone. And what do you have to fall back on? Nothing but being. And the being of this last week has been exquisite. It has been beautiful. The being part is the wonderful part. The action part, the doing part, is the horrible part. But let me tell you, the horrible part is part of being. Doing is not separate from being. It's a part of it, but it's a very small part of it, really. And you can make it as important or unimportant as you want. You can engage it with love or with misery. You can hate it or you can say yes to it. And I will tell you, one of the secrets I can teach you today is say yes. Say yes to what is. That's kind of like the whole teaching. Say yes to what is. It will free you of so much stuff. It will bring you back into being. It will get rid of the doer and allow you to be the beer. will allow you to let what's happening happen without you interacting with it, which means nothing because you can't stop it. Try being a wave in the ocean and stopping the ocean. Try. See where it gets you. You can be a miserable wave. I'm going to crash. Oh my God. Oh, I didn't crash. I'm okay. Oh, it's going to crash again. Who cares? You know, it's your craziness that makes you think every minute is the last minute, and maybe it is the last minute for the doer, for the person, and that's something you need to deal with. We all need to deal with it. And how do you deal with it? The same way you deal with being. Either you trust it or you don't. Either you identify with the doer and you fight and you hope and you create a system to work with it, or you just surrender and let it happen and be with one with what is. That's the work. The practice we're doing here teaches you to let go, teaches you to let go. Rudy just said, surrender. Please help me to surrender. That's the teaching. Please help me to surrender. Until you are surrendered, until the universe lets go of you and lets you see very clearly there was no you to be let go of, until that happens, you have to do your work. If you want to live a life that's sweeter and more gentle than the life of fear and hating and worrying and anxiety that so many people embrace, you have a choice. Totally up to you. Ask for help to surrender. Try to recognize that as you surrender your ego, you enter being. When you're in being and you get really quiet, there's no mind, there's no thought, or if there is, it's very gentle, it doesn't engage so much, and you just are. That's the big truth. You are. You'll never know what you are, you'll never understand it, but you will be amazed by the fact of it. You will be amazed and grateful for being. Amazed and grateful. And not understanding doesn't mean anything because you're full of wonder. Full of awe, full of amazement, and wide-eyed gratitude for everything that is. I drove down the 101, actually it was the 170 yesterday, ugly freeway. And I'm thinking, what if I never see this again? What if I never see this freeway again? And how much has been part of my life, and how much its ugly aspects have always been there. And I realized that's what I am. It's what is. And something completely switched in me, and I said, oh, I love this. I love this freeway. It was like, wow. And I did the same thing last month. We went up to Point Reyes outside of Marin County, and I never liked Point Reyes because it's very treeless. It's just ground and scrub grasses, and it's very hilly and has a certain appeal, but I always hated it because it was so barren. And I said to myself in the car, I said, Bruce, you're here, you better love this. The minute I said it, every blade of grass struggling to grow in that soil, in that rock, opened its heart to me. And I just went, and I fell in love with it. I fell in love with the barrenness. I fell in love with the struggle to be. I fell in love with the emptiness. It took nothing. It just said, open to it, love it. And I loved it. And I do that with every person I meet. I just go, yes, you can close. Yes, you can judge. Yes, you can dismiss. But you can also love. You can just go love it. Love them. Love. It's so simple, which really means accept. Take it as it is. Accept what is. What is. That's what you got. That's all we have, all of us. This is it. Learning to do that will give you a great life, whether you awaken it or enlightened or not enlightened. It kind of doesn't matter. It's just, it's a way to live. And it's really beautiful. So keep in mind the difference between being and doing, and try to be as much as possible. Any questions?
I hate to hear you had a bad week, but I'm also happy to hear it because I had a bad week too, in the same sense. my car broke down, the air conditioning broke, the windows broke, and I had to go to work. And there I was on the 101 and the 405 with people passing me, you know. When the windows are up, you're not so scared. But when they're down and you hear everything, you're frightened in some way that you're going to get smushed like a bug. So, but as I went along, I had to do that, what you're talking about, surrender, because the fear was becoming so great in me that, and also the hatred of just being there.
Hatred of the moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be here. Why am I here? You know, the whole thing. And as I got towards La Tierra and got to the parking lot, I thought, all of that for nothing. You're fine. Everything's fine.
Well, that can be the case. Or you may have to get out of your car and wait for the tow truck and traffic's passing you and people are giving you the finger.
Yeah,
you know?
That too.
Yeah, all of that goes on. It's whatever is. I mean, I'm telling you, you can't expect life to just deliver you into pure joy and simplicity.
Absolutely.
It doesn't work that way. It gives you what it gives you. And it's not giving it to you, it's just happening. For you to take it personally makes it about you and builds a structure and a story that you can then share with the world, as you and I are doing right now. But it's really, in the end, it's just stuff that happens. How you respond to that, in a sense, defines your being. It's so much sweeter to just say yes. Now, we can't always do it.
No.
But not to beat yourself up over the head for that, because truly, sometimes it's really hard. I was not happy with the Apple salesman telling me that we have to try and start all over again because the phone's not, the one they sold me wasn't working. And then the second one didn't work. Then they realized, well, they just gave a new program out, and that new program has to be loaded before they can do anything. So they had to load that whole program, which took about half an hour, 40 minutes to load the new program. And I'm having a choice here, you know. I can be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people around me were crazy because a lot of stuff was going on, not just for me.
Right.
And you can feel it. Or I can just relax. And it turns out my salesman is an actor, a really wonderful sweetheart of a guy who has been in musicals and all these things. And we had the most beautiful conversation, and we had such a great time. And everything worked out perfectly. It all worked out perfectly, just like yours worked out perfectly. Primarily because I didn't say, I'm leaving here, I'm going home, which, you know, could have been done. You know, I could have been really angry. I wasted my day, and then I could have taken that anger home. And I could have spread it around to everyone I know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, that has karmic consequence.
Sure.
And this is what people do. And you build a life based on not being. You build a life based on so engaged in doing and all the stuff that gets in the way of doing that you become a very unhappy human being. Or a very fragile human being. Or a very reactive human being. What you want is to be open, available, alive, and present. That's what you want. And it's a lesson that if you have a spiritual idea in your brain, you might go to that and actually turn things around. That's what Rudy used to teach us. You have a choice. Turn it around. Transcend the problem. And if you do that, you live differently. You have a better life. That's all. And you change your karma, really. You know, you don't go out and kill somebody.
Right. Or hate somebody.
Or hate somebody, yeah. It's nobody's fault. It's just happening. Anyone else?
My mom used to say that. She used to say, I'm going to turn this around. And she did. She did. And thank everything that sunk in for me.
But you know, it's so interesting. The great truth for me, to agree that there's a truth, about spiritual teaching is that it has to be simple enough for anyone to get it. Not somebody who has a college degree, not somebody, you know, who's spent 40 years in philosophy and meditating. Spiritual truth needs to be absolutely available and accessible to anyone who's alive. And there are people like your mom who gets it. You can turn it around. You can turn anything around. You just have to do it. Just say yes to it. It's really a remarkable thing, and it makes for a wonderful life. And I suspect she had a really wonderful life, because that's what happens. I know people like this who just said yes. You know, they just said yes to the thing that happened, and they went, this was good. I had a good day. You know, that's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
And it's a way to live. Anyone else?
What can I do to be a better student?
Probably not ask questions like that. You're turning it into something about one I to a future thing. How can I get to there? Terrell, I'll tell you once and for all, the there you're trying to get to is right here now. It's never beyond that, ever. So whatever you have to do has to happen in this very second, not in another second. Not by effort you do now for some future reward. It has to be absolutely about this now. And in Rudy's terms, it would just be surrender. Get out of your head. Don't make it intellectual. Just show up. Be present. Be. Just be. The I question separates you from being. What can I do? I is always going to be imperfect. I is always going to be filled with a separate entity, this ego-minded truth, which is not who you are, really. You are the immensity of being, not this little, tiny, Terrell person. And I know you're very identified with Terrell, and you're a really good person, and you really work hard to be a good person, but it will never get you there because there is no there. There's no there to get to. This is it. It's never, ever down the road. It's not 2 seconds down the road, 10 years down the road, 80 years of meditating will not get you there because it's only going to happen now. How else could it be? You just be present. Be. Don't do. What can I do to be a better student? Do you hear the word do? Do. There's nothing to do. Stop doing. Be. You will be that. You are that. You are that. You're one of the best students ever. But the idea that you need to become a better student is a complication that gets in the way of being the student you are. You're already there. Be it. Anyone else? Okie doke. I'll be back sometime in November. Don't know when. Keep it going, guys. I know it's very hard to come here, and try to sit with somebody once in a while. It's good to be more consistent, to keep the patterning, to sit every day by yourself, to keep this process going. If you try to make this a once a week or once a month phenomenon, it doesn't work quite the same way. It's really valuable to have a practice of being. And let's call meditation being. It's very helpful to do that. Find a way to do it. And also, find a way to do it that you don't even like. Because like and dislike create identity. And when you can go beyond your likes and dislikes by doing the thing you don't like, you will become freer of that process, freer of the you. That's, I only want to do what I like. By going against that, you start to break you down. I could do a whole talk on that, and I don't want to. But listen, thank you guys for coming today. I appreciate it very much. And I'll see you, hopefully, next time we're around.